The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We're looking forward to today's show. Doug Howler from The Athletic. We are going to chop it up around Arizona State football. For those of you that have been sending me notes, man, you're doing a lot around ASU football, not as much around the Super Bowl. I'm here in Phoenix, okay? And that's, every day it's something over there. I've been referring to them, Doug's referred to them as always something university. ASU, always something university. And so Antonio Pierce leaves yesterday, which should have happened months and months and months ago, but for some reason, it ends up happening on letter of intent day. So the optics aren't good. We will get into all things around Arizona State with Doug Howler. And then I'm anticipating this segment. Guys, sometimes, and if you've watched this show through the years, you know I'm okay with train wrecks. I'm okay with them. If you don't take chances in this business, if all you do is just the same old crapola, because you got to hit a break at a certain point in time because you believe, you don't know for sure, but you're told that you're going to get a ratings point. And I've been doing this now for 10 years, and it's, you just show up and you do your thing. So I'm going to take a chance, a flyer. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Catherine Fitzgerald, who those of you that have watched the show for more than a nanosecond know, I totally love her work and what she's all about, her sense of humor and everything. And the Republic, for some unbeknownst reason to me, did not try to keep her when she had a job offer to go to the Buffalo News. She went to Buffalo this year to cover the Bills. She crushed it. She is at the Senior Bowl today down in Mobile, Alabama. We will have her with us. And Jordan Hamm today is at the East-West Shrine Game in Las Vegas. He's been up there the last couple of days doing what Jordan does so well on the college platform, and that's corral all of the ASU players and those with angles around our great state, Chase Lucas, Brock Purdy. Guys are going to be drafted or maybe signed as free agents, DJ Davidson and others. So Jordan has been up in Vegas. Tonight is the East-West Shrine Game. The two of them are coming on. I have very little intention of talking draft with them. Jordan is getting married in 2 weeks. I'm now moving the show into Jordan Hamm and Sarah Cazell, his bride-to-be mode. And we're going to talk registries, you know, candlesticks. It's like the scene in Bull Durham, right? You know, when they're out on the mound, they're trying to figure out about candlesticks and all that stuff. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to screw around a little bit with Jordan and Sarah getting married and Catherine, who's going to be at the wedding, which would be great to see her, and talk some draft stuff. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their longtime support. There's a basketball day in our great town, our little slice of heaven, as I like to say. Those of you watching in Chicago or New York today, welcome to our world. I should turn my camera around. It's, I don't know, 70 and sunny. It's kind of nice. And it's nice to look forward to some things on the floor, because what is going on in our little slice of heaven off the floor, off the court, off the field isn't good. Tonight, we have the Suns at Atlanta. Tonight, they're going to announce the All-Star Reserves, and Devin Booker and Chris Paul's names are, they're not announced, then okay, just fold up shop, all right? They will be announced, and then they play the Hawks. The Hawks with Trae Young, that's a really fun team to watch. Problem for the Suns is Cameron Payne is hurt, Landry Shamet is hurt, so Chris Paul's going to have to play heavy minutes tonight. That's not good. These games don't mean much of anything other than being played for fans to watch here in early February. I want Chris Paul to not have a lot of tread off the tire by the time we get to the playoffs. I'd rather see Chris Paul be in a load management case at this point of the year. He's playing so well. That's not the way Monty coaches. It's fine. Just I know that 38 to 40 minutes a game is not what the coach wants. Not what I want. So tonight they have DeAndre Ayton back. Played the other night. Played a few minutes. This trip will include going from Atlanta to Philly. We get the Joel Embiid against DeAndre Ayton matchup, where Embiid has talked trash about Ayton in the past. That's always fun to watch. So the road trip for the Suns gets going tonight in Atlanta. At the same time on the college front, it's Arizona and UCLA. The Bruins and Wildcats. And the Wildcats got smoked out in Los Angeles about a week and a half back. Very much looking forward to seeing this game tonight. And then you have Arizona State playing very late. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the game tonight. I mean, ASU is not tipping against USC until 9. It's not like I'm an old guy or anything. It's just 9. And the Trojans are really good. They're favored by 6 here on the road. So we have basketball all over the place tonight with the Suns, ASU, U of A, and then GCU. GCU has a big game tonight, and that game will be sold out. They're at home against Seattle U. You were like, Seattle U? Yeah, they're undefeated in the WAC. GCU struggled the last few games. And so you have GCU in action tonight, too. So there's a lot to check out on the basketball front. Antonio Pierce resigning yesterday. It was just, you know, it's letter of intent day. And letter of intent day isn't as important as it once was. It isn't. With the transfer portal, and you have to find a landing spot by May. We'll talk with Doug Howler about this in a few minutes. You have to find a landing spot by May. ASU is not going to complete their class until right before May. They're going to get guys that are going to go in the portal during spring ball that are going to say, I don't like this new position coach. I'm not being given a chance to shine. I'm not being given a chance to play. I'm going to go in the portal. And then ASU is going to swoop in and grab some of these guys. So while their overall recruiting class yesterday was bad, awful, and I don't put much into the ratings and stock on ratings, but it's out there that fans grab onto and say, oh my gosh, we were ranked 11th. Like, who cares? Understand the big picture. In the portal, if I'm only going off of the eyeball test and what some of these players did statistically, they've done pretty good in the portal. They have. Doesn't mean they can play. Doesn't mean they're going to mix in with chemistry. Doesn't mean that if a kid has already been in the portal once, that if things don't go right here, that they wouldn't go back or just quit playing football or just walk away. That's going to start happening. You're going to have players that are going to get to a landing spot, and the team is going to go 1-3, and they're not playing much, and they're just going to quit. That is like the next trend. If you don't believe that, you're not seeing what's going on. If they don't make enough in NIL money, and if the team isn't playing and they're not playing, if they don't make enough in NIL and they're not playing or they're not being productive, they're going to quit. It's not even about the team anymore for a lot of these guys because there's so many voices. Oh, my gosh. They don't know what they're doing with you. And it's nonsense. So for ASU, should Herm Edwards go? Absolutely. Should Ray be on the hot seat? Not a question. But it's more, to me, what is going on the field is the best chance for ASU to win some games this year, to keep Herm Edwards. He's out of Brian Billick. Marvin Lewis is still here. And Marvin's voice, I think, is pretty powerful in all this. All right. So maybe you had rogue, not maybe, you did. You had rogue assistant coaches. You had a guy that was in charge of recruiting that scrubbed his whole social media, and ASU still kept him. You can't script how bungled they've done this deal. So we'll talk with Doug about all of that. And we will do so next. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. If anything gets screwed up on this, it's his fault. I'm just kidding. He doesn't screw up. He's the Iron Man. Doug Howler. And then it'll be a train wreck. It just will be. Catherine Fitzgerald and Jordan Hammond. I'm good with train wrecks. It makes it fun. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's take a minute here to talk about DraftKings. This is important, guys. The football season is rolling on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Really happy to have them on board. Here's how to claim this offer. Sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Act now. This offer won't be around forever, thanks to DraftKings. All right, as promised, Doug Howler dropping knowledge from The Athletic on all things around Arizona State or whatever else is on his mind. It's good to see you. I am sure that you are up to your eyeballs. By the time we're done with this interview, everything will have changed. But were you surprised yesterday with the Antonio Pierce news in any way, shape, or form?
No. Hi, Brad. Not at all. I think from the get-go, everyone knew that Antonio Pierce, with his role as recruiting coordinator, at some point his job would be up in the air, whether, you know, they would fire him or if he would leave for the NFL. And it was just a matter of when that was going to happen. I was actually in the airport in Indianapolis about 30 minutes from leaving, from boarding my plane back to Phoenix when the news broke. And, you know, I had already had a story pre-written. So it was just kind of massaging that. But, you know, in some ways you kind of wonder why this took as long as it did. I mean, because he was always as recruiting coordinator, and from everybody that I've talked to, his fingerprints were all over the allegations. So, you know, and just, I just think just the latest thing, it's just like the latest thing that happens with the football program right now, just ignites social media. I mean, the football program really is in free fall at this point.
So you pre-wrote that story last August. I'm just kidding. like we knew it was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen.
It was a while ago. I mean, it's just one of those things as a reporter you do because, you know, just to stay up on things. I just didn't know how it was going to happen. But, you know, I just don't I do understand the timing of it. You know, as Arizona State's talking to or as the NCAA is uncovering things, they're talking to Arizona State and they're making decisions based on that. But, you know, for a while, Brad, it seemed like that they were maybe, you know, trying to peg this on the three young assistants who were originally suspended. And, you know, that just didn't make sense to have those guys out of the program while Antonio Pierce was still on the sideline last season calling the defense.
Well, yesterday to me did not make sense in terms of it's letter of intent day.
Yeah.
You know, like the worst possible day to drop this bit of news. And the idea that, well, maybe Herm went to AP and said, look, we're all going down. You should get out of here. And it comes out yesterday. That doesn't fly in any way, shape, or form to me, one. Two, it's not going to be a surprise if he ends up with the Chiefs. Chiefs tried to hire him 3 years ago, came out here and went through the whole process. So I guess the timing of this being released and confirmed by Arizona State on letter of intent day. Can you address that?
It may be just Antonio Pierce getting one last jab in. The fact that, you know, a day that, you know, let's face it. I mean, I think you and I are on the same page with this. National Signing Day is a day of hype. You know, it's, yes. It's off season, you know, Christmas time for college football fans. I understand that, but you know, it's a lot of hype and stuff that you really don't know whether this, you know, kid from Georgia or whatever is going to pan out. When Arizona State decided to take Antonio Pierce off the road for recruiting a few months ago, and he scrubbed his social media accounts, which I thought was just a really unprofessional move on his part as recruiting coordinator. How do you keep him in that position anyway at that time? I mean, it goes back to then that you realize, okay, Antonio Pierce might have one foot out the door. When the recruiting coordinator, whose main job is to communicate with 18-year-olds, who's all about social media, he goes through his Instagram and Twitter accounts and takes out all the Arizona State references. I don't know how you could have a guy like that leading your recruiting, given those circumstances. So, you know, once that happened, you knew, okay, he's not long for the program, but to resign on National Signing Day was, I guess, I would just take it as one last jab at Arizona State.
Doug Haller from The Athletic with us for a few minutes. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. They do great work. Doug is all over it. Antonio Pierce's ascension at Arizona State always seemed odd to me because I'm like, yeah, you're okay at coaching a defense. And anybody who wants to dispute that, I don't quite get it. And yeah, you bring in some name players, like you said, your point on recruiting day, but the ascension to him to be the coach in waiting now in hindsight, what were you making out of that at the time? And now that we're at this point, how bad of a miscalculation was it for Arizona State? That seems like an obvious answer to the question, but just the complete bungling by ASU on this one.
Well, I think Herm Edwards felt an obligation to groom someone, an African-American coach, to be a head coach one day. It's the same thing that Tony Dungy did to him in Tampa Bay when Herm was a defensive backs coach. If you remember right, Herm was never even a coordinator before he got to be a head coach. And Tony Dungy, Herm related to me one time that, you know, Tony Dungy said, we have an obligation. And we know the situation going on in the NFL right now. It's dismal. Yep. So he felt like it was, you know, part of his duties to groom somebody to one day be a head coach. And Antonio Pierce was that guy. According to a lot of the people I've talked to, you know, he pretty much just shifted program responsibilities to Antonio Pierce. I don't know the timing on that. Someone told me that he was given keys to the castle. That's the exact quote from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And he made a lot of decisions that the head coach should have been making. And that kind of, if you remember right, the kind of Sol Herm is that CEO type coach. When he first came in, he was more involved than I think people expected. But I think as time went on, he kind of became that CEO guy, kind of removed from all the detail part of it. Antonio Pierce, it seems, had too much freedom, took advantage of that freedom. You know, I don't know Herm Edwards the way, I'm sorry, I don't know Antonio Pierce the way Herm Edwards does, but so I can't say if there was a, you know, lack of, you know, seeing what Antonio Pierce was, but, you know, Antonio Pierce definitely took advantage of that freedom, and here we are.
I had a couple of former assistant coaches told me about a meeting one time where Herm pounded the table and just said, what AP says is what I say.
Yeah.
And when you have something like that in place, and this was a couple of years ago, and those coaches were shown the door for not following lockstep and what Antonio wanted from a recruiting standpoint, I think we get to where we are today. Does Herm Edwards like confrontation? My understanding is he doesn't. So this is really uncomfortable for him. What is your take on that?
I would say there's some truth to that. He's a nice guy. I mean, yes. Everyone knows that. He's the nicest guy that you're going to come across. I will share this. And when during practice, you know, reporters are out there and we're, you know, you get 20 minutes. So you're writing down every little detail. And there was a situation where too much information, the Arizona State program thought too much information was getting out of practices, too detailed information as far as injuries, who's practicing, who's not, common thing in football. You know, Herm addressed that to the media twice. One time he put it all on the players. He said, the players are concerned that there's too much information getting out, which I thought was strange. Don't put it on the players. You're the head coach. If too much information gets out, say, stop it. I'm going to close practice. He did it again later in the season. And, you know, it was after a press conference that after he told all the cameras to turn off. And, you know, and then again, he asked us in a very polite way. And, you know, it was just, he was trying to be nice. He understands the media side of it. But to me, that was an example of trying to avoid confrontation when he should have just said, like, that's it. You guys are out. You know, if he told him, that's the way he felt. That's the way he felt. Don't put it on the players. Just say, I'm making a decision. That's it. But I do see, and I have heard that he, you know, confrontation is not something that he jumps into. And I think it just goes to his nature, just wanting to please everybody.
Doug Haller with us from The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. You can check out Doug's content. How much longer until Herm is no longer the coach? I guess I could give you an easier answer. Will he be will he be the head coach to open the season against NAU?
Yeah, I think he will be, just because, you know, what are they going to do? You know, I don't think you can. You have Brian Billick as an analyst now. You have Marvin Lewis on staff, and Marvin is more involved than what people think. I mean, I was told that during a coaching interview that participated on Zoom that Marvin was more involved than Herm was, you know, during the interviewing process. I don't see them wanting that kind of responsibility. You know, I just don't know where and who are you going to go get to come and say, hey, can you come, you know, lead the sinking ship? So I would be surprised if he's not there, but I do think, you know, the countdown has started. I mean, it's always been running on Herm, and it's always been a situation of whether he walks away on his own or if they make the decision. I don't think Ray Anderson will fire him. I think if Arizona State fires him, it'll have to come from Michael Crow. So we'll see, but it's inevitable. I think at this point, it's just a matter of when. You know, they've gone through the assistants and now they got to Antonio Pierce. He would be the obvious next step. I just don't know when that'll be.
But why wait, I guess? Because I know you're saying, your point is, who are they going to get? Someone out there would lead a Pac-12 program if it came open. Someone that, if you look at the big picture and say, if you wait, you're just letting the patient die slowly. Rather than, okay, here's the leadership, here's where we're going. There's already enough out there about, look, we're other Pac-12 school, They're under investigation. Herm's not going to be there. Why come here? So now you're putting your 23 at class completely away. You're throwing that one away. You can take the tact of we're going to transfer portal because kids just want to come play quick, get their demo tape, get on to the NFL. That all sounds great. We don't know what that means for chemistry in a locker room, missing on recruits that are just here for themselves rather than the team. So I'm just wondering here, and I have pointed to Crow more than even Ray on this. The president of the university, and you've talked with him. I don't know if you talked to him on this. He is MIA on this deal, Doug, from my view. Don't see, don't hear anything.
Yeah, and I've heard from several former coaches who are on doing other things who really don't have any interest in what's going on at Arizona State. But they have called, and the first thing they say is Michael Crow made it clear every year during the meeting with coaches and administrators, you commit serious violations, you're out. And a lot of people think that had it been any other coach at ASU that even would have been under investigation for things like this, that they would have been suspended immediately. And Herm didn't. I think to your point, why not just get it started? I mean, it seemed to me that this is where it was headed from the get-go. I mean, maybe they should have made a decision last year, and instead of having, you know, two seasons in turmoil, it was only one. You know, you could start to, you know, make a decision, have an interim coach, and then base everything on, you know, this offseason to get things in place for next season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. There will be somebody who will take that opportunity. There always will be someone who's willing to, A, take the money, and B, you know, the exposure of a coach in a Pac-12 program. At this point, though, I think, you know, I just wonder if they've come so far with Herm that they're just willing to let it play out as long as they can. And the other thing is, you know, the transfer portal, Arizona State's going to kind of rescue its recruiting through the transfer portal. In some ways, they have. I know the recruiting rankings for the 2022 class look dismal, and they are. But it's not quite as bad because they do have a handful of transfers who can come in and play right away. But the transfer portal goes both ways. And I think, you know, even with Antonio Pierce leaving, he was so loyal, or he was so popular in that locker room. You know, players have till May 1st to leave for another school and have immediate eligibility for next season. I think Arizona State could lose some players still because of that. Now, it's late in the process, and, you know, it would have to be somebody who absolutely understands he has a place to land. I don't think anybody's going to enter the portal at this point and say, I'll see what my options are. But, you know, if Herm would leave too, I think the possibility of more players leaving.
And everybody's pointing towards Jaden, and just would Jaden leave? And I don't know. He's got so many NIL deals, one. But two, it wouldn't surprise me if Jaden Daniels left, in my own humble opinion, based on what is going on here. He's got to go produce next year. You know, that's his year. And if things continue in the direction they're going, I could see everybody and anybody saying, I got to go do what is best for me.
Well, with Jaden Daniels, you know, from things I've hearing, he did not have the best relationship with Zach Hill, who has resigned, the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
You know, Jaden's two worst seasons came under Zach Hill, so I think that's perfectly understandable. But as you said, I mean, Jaden is in a point now where he has no choice, but if he wants to make it to the NFL, he has to have a good season. And if I were his parents, I think it's more than reasonable to say, hey, look, let's look at the landscape at Arizona State right now. Yeah, we have a new offensive coordinator coming in, Glenn Thomas, who has a reputation for being able to work well with quarterbacks. But at the same time, is that an environment where we're going to succeed? You know, are we going to be able to have success, or are we going to go through a season where every loss, this investigation is going to come up and it's just going to bury the program? So it would not surprise me at all if he's checking out his options. I do know he has great loyalty to Herm, so maybe he wants to stick beside him. But ultimately, every player in that program is going to have to do what's best for himself.
One other question on this, I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time. You can check out Doug's content over at The Athletic. Ray Anderson's future has become really, I think, even more so the hot button with the big cigars, I call them, or fans. And you look at the success of sports like wrestling and golf. You look at the misstep or beyond that with the baseball coach, and now Willie Bloomquist is in, which appears to be a good hire. The fact they're still playing in the archaic basketball arena, that there's no plan in sight on that. Bobby came here, from my understanding, with the conversation was, we're going to get this fixed. Even Charlie Turner Thorne can't bring recruits through that building. It's such a dump. Where are you at on Ray Anderson and his future?
Brad, everybody I've talked to still find it hard to believe that Michael Crow will fire Ray Anderson. Is it grounds for termination where the state of Arizona State Athletics? Absolutely. He made it in 2017. He brought in his former client. You know, those two have a relationship. It goes way back. Everyone knows this. And at the time, he knew exactly that in some ways, his future at Arizona State was tied to the success of Herm Edwards. That's the same for every athletic director who makes a football hire. But particularly in this case, it hasn't worked out well. It's been terrible. I mean, based on what has happened with the investigation. But, you know, someone will have to take the fall for it. From a lot of people I've talked to, they think that Ray probably insulated himself pretty well. And then you're looking at an administrator, possibly, you know, Gene Boyd oversees Arizona State football. I reported last summer that he was at least made aware that some things were going on in the program that was not on the up and up. I don't know what he did with that information. Everybody I've talked to, I've asked, was Gene Boyd aware of what was going on? Everyone says he knew at least something. And again, I don't know what Gene did. Maybe Gene took it someplace else. Maybe Gene expressed concern. I don't know. But, you know, if he didn't know, that's a problem too. There's definitely an oversight problem here as well. It's not just within the football program. It's above the football program. And that needs to be addressed. No one I've talked to thinks that Michael Crow will get rid of Ray because of it, just because the trust factor there and that Michael Crow is really loyal. I don't know. I mean, at some point, like I said, that has to be the oversight of the football program has to be addressed.
Yeah. You and I could go another half hour on so many things. I appreciate all your time today. I'll let you go off that. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
There's Doug Haller with us again. Check out his content on The Athletic. Great job that he does there covering Arizona State and college sports. We're back with more after this timeout. The football season rolls on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how to claim this offer. You sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. That's easy. Make your first time deposit of $5 or more. That's simple. Place a $5 plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. All right, as promised, and I don't know where this segment is going to go, but I know it's two of my favorite people, and one of these two is getting married in a couple of weeks. I'll leave it up to the audience to decide. No, I'm just kidding. Jordan is getting married in a couple of weeks. Catherine Fitzgerald from Buffalo is going to come back to the Valley. She should have never left to begin with. That's just my rant. You don't let really talented stars get out of town. But she did, and she's in Buffalo now. Buffalo News, right?
Yes, Buffalo News.
Yeah? How was year one?
It was good. A lot happened this season for the Bills and still getting to know the city a little bit too. So looking forward to the next few months of just learning more about Buffalo, but a good year so far.
Good, good. You are in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. Jordan is in Las Vegas at the East-West Shrine Game. Jordan, if we're talking about Catherine Fitzgerald behind her back, what are we saying?
One of the funniest and kindest people I've come across on this beat, wow. And an incredibly talented writer. So I've wow. said that to her face too. So yeah.
Yeah. That's very nice and sweet, but I want to know, like, what is her deal and your deal with food? Cause I've heard from many people before the segment even started, good luck getting them to talk about what's going on at the Shrine Game or what's going on at the Senior Bowl. Catherine, what is the deal with the two of you and food?
I just think it's a very important part of everyone's lives, you know, literally need it to live, but more to thrive, to just excel. Got to eat some really good foods, have some good snacks. I candidly had a moment my first day at practice for the Senior Bowl where all of a sudden I was like, something's wrong. I'm not doing enough. I'm really stressed. Then I was like, no, you're hangry. You need to reach into your backpack and have a snack right now. So I did just that.
Jordan, did you and Sarah, who you're marrying, for the audience that doesn't know this, did you bounce the nutrition values of your reception dinner that Catherine will be partaking in? Did you have to bounce anything off of her? Make sure it's all covered?
No, I mean, I think I know Catherine's taste pretty well. And even, I mean, Eric Sorensen, when he figured out I was touching down in Vegas, it wasn't hey, what players are we going to go talk to? Where's the event? Da, da, da. It's all right. We got Joyful House.
Joyful House. Yeah.
And we got this place and that place. And so I think it's just my people are all food people. So yeah, we had
my an people.
Extensive take. Yes.
Very ego driven there, Jordan.
Our circles. Our circles all intersect. So, but yeah, we had a very extensive tasting. And I think that we have some pretty good options here in a couple weeks.
Oh, that's good.
I think it's good for your friends to know you, to be known, for them to reach out with the advice that you really need. So right. Congratulations exactly. on getting everything you need for Vegas.
Right. And when Claudia Collins is saying, hey, I'm going out to Highland for the first time, it's not, oh, here's Brock Farrell's number or this player or that player. It's, okay, down the street is this restaurant. If you want Mexican, here it is. So, yeah, it's becoming a bit of a brand for me, which is nice.
Catherine, do you have a culinary favorite now in Mobile? Because, man, Mobile, how many days have you been in Mobile? That's like a hot spot in America to be at, right?
I was excited to have some oysters the first night here. I've had shrimp and grits so many times that maybe my bloodstream is now shrimp and grits, which is fine. It's good. So mixing it up a little bit from, you know, a heavy buffalo wing pizza diet to tap into the local cuisine here. And it's been great.
Catherine Fitzgerald is with us in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. And Jordan Hamm is with us from the East-West Shrine Game, which is tonight. This is he's in Las Vegas for tonight's game. All right, I'm going to try to get serious here with both of you on the games that you're going to be covering, the players you're going to be covering. Catherine, have you seen the number one overall pick in this year's draft in person this week, in your opinion?
Oh, that's a good question. And I'm not sure. I've been watching a bit more from a Bills perspective, just kind of seeing some guys they might be looking at. But I think just getting to see everyone here over the last stretch has been really exciting, but a little tricky with all the rain here. We're not out at practice today. So whoever the number one pick is today, I will not see him, but it's been a good week of just watching otherwise.
Jordan, you've been around all the ASU players and some with Arizona ties up at the East-West Shrine Game, which is tonight. What have you taken away from Vegas to drop knowledge on the fans down here?
Yeah, I think, I haven't really been able to see much practicing, but I mean, let's face it, in these types of environments, a lot of times guys are in basketball shorts going half speed. So I don't know that there's that much you can gain from it. But what I heard from almost every player is their opportunity to meet with NFL coaches who are here has been huge for them. For them to connect on a personal level, maybe tell their story, give some backstory to, you know, who they are. That's been really important for them. And with a guy like Chase Lucas, who has 5 years of film, is it really going to make or break how he plays tonight with some teams? Probably not. But that sit down with some of these NFL coaches and really get into how he operates and, you know, what makes him tick is very important, I think.
Hey, Catherine, when Jordan's video freezes, let's you and I do the pose of him. Like that.
Okay. I think mine's freezing too. We've got all the time zones just mixing it up a bit.
Nothing wrong with that. Before I get the two of you out of here, placeholders, candlestick holders. Catherine, did you already do the Jordan and Sarah? Have you gotten that finished? Because you're an astute beat reporter for the Bills. They play late into the season. I'm guessing you have not done any wedding planning yet for these two, or have you?
Okay, so I have done some, and I can't say what it is because I don't want to ruin the surprise here, but found something that worked really well. I'm in a stage with just a lot of weddings, have like 12 in a year and a half span or something like that. So I'm very proficient at it at this point, I think, hopefully, yep. But had a gift that I recently did, and I was like, I think this is going to be my signature wedding gift for a stretch. So looking forward to leaning into that brand.
Jordy, do you have a guess on what that is?
I really don't, but there are, for I think most of our wedding guests, I would say, like, if they ask, be like, yeah, just check out the registry. Catherine's one of those. I am totally fine with her going off registry because usually it's very unique and very Catherine. And it usually is better than what we're asking for. So I think if she goes off book, that means it's probably going to be pretty good.
So she's going
to have the endorsement.
Yeah, she told me off the air she's getting you a crock pot, so I'm just going to give it away now.
I'm sure it's bedazzled or something.
10 crock pots per wedding. You know, that's how it goes.
All right. It's neon lights and it plays Pitbull as your food warms up more and more and more.
There we go.
We'll let you go off that. Catherine did want to talk about the greatest rodents I saw on her Twitter. And we didn't get into that today, but I'll go Speedy Gonzalez. I'll play along with you before I wrap this up. You have anything?
I was going to go Stuart Little, but I think there's no wrong choice.
Sandy Cheeks for me.
There you go. We have plenty to talk about at the wedding in a few weeks. That was my excuse to get the two of you together. Plus, it's cool that you're down there doing your thing in Mobile. Jordan up in Vegas. And Catherine, in all sincerity, I was really pissed when you left. Okay? That's me. Because you are super talented. I'm so happy that you landed in Buffalo and you killed it back there this year. Watch you from afar. Love what you're all about and who you are. And look forward to seeing you at Jordan and Sarah's wedding there. I'm better now.
Thank you so much, Brad. I really appreciate that. And yes, the wedding will be just the party of the century. So a delight to hang there.
See you guys. There you go. There's Catherine Fitzgerald. She is down in Mobile, beautiful Mobile. She is head of tourism in Mobile, Alabama. Come on down. And Jordan is in Vegas. Jordan is in Vegas, both of them covering the draft in their own ways. And we're back with more after this timeout.